This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
You know what's nice is that the other two guys on the show, since we are the four horsemen, actually decided they wanted to show up and participate. Unlike last week, where they decided for two straight days that they were going to go Charlie Chaplin on me and not speak.
Now, what is this now, guys? You didn't talk for two consecutive days, and Rick was like trying to talk to you, and you ignored him?
That's a total lie.
Oh,
a violent, a lie.
Really? Ooh.
There was nothing. No ignoring.
We were shut out.
Listen, we are.
This is saucy now. So one party says got nothing from the guys that he was relying on. The other party says they were shut out from even participating in the show at all.
Listen, we know our place. We're not on the marquee, if you will.
I'm not even on the marquee.
Yes, you are.
No.
So what we didn't want to do is when someone is filling in for someone who's on the marquee, we don't want to just pop on the mic and just parachute out of nowhere and freak people out. We wanted Dan to be comfortable and work his way through with Rick on this fine program.
But that's not what Rick was looking for.
No. I needed you guys, and you were nowhere to be found.
See, I think what Rick is saying, and I'm not looking to cause trouble. I'm looking at, like, you know, I'm an honesty broker. That's what I do.
And you cause trouble, but yes.
I think that Rick looked and thought maybe Dan had some shortcomings last week. And he looked to the two of you to try to pick up the slack of what was left by me not being here and Dan filling in, and the two of you were not remotely helpful at all.
I think he had this expectation that we would just, as RJ said, parachute in and, you know, whenever we wanted to.
It's not parachuting in, though.
And, you know, the reality is, like RJ said, we can't just jump in. We've got to be, you know, we've got to be invited in.
Oh, stop. First of all, when do you have to be invited
in?
You steamroll us half the time anyway.
It's your house.
That's with you guys. Again, it's not my house. It's your house.
Yeah, but you act like Dan's a foreign exchange student.
He speaks the language.
Yeah, right.
He's
not a young guy.
He was house sitting. We were trying not to be rude. If you wanted us to engage, you should have told us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was nothing from you, and then all of a sudden all of a sudden we turn around and you're over here yelling at us because we didn't talk. It was very confusing.
I chewed him out, Dave.
On the air?
I went right into the studio and chewed both of them out.
You said, what the hell, you guys are not talking?
Yeah. I probably didn't use the word hell. Probably said more stronger than
really?
That. But yeah.
And what was their reaction?
Oh, what did you want us to do? Which is, yeah, we have
you know
to
what he wants
in.
You to do. He wants you guys to participate in the show. See, this is the difference. Rick and I look at you guys, like the four of us, as the show. You guys look at Rick and I as the show, and you guys are you know, in the background. We don't want that. We want the two of you guys to be very much in the forefront of what goes on, the shenanigans of the show.
We appreciate that, but listen. We cleared the runway. There's talk of people sleeping with people's mother-in-law. There's Mayor Quimby going on. Like we just wanted to let it all happen, okay?
All right. Sounds like we're going to have a meeting at some point.
Listen, at the end of the day, RJ and me, our names are not on the show.
My goodness.
RJ and I.
Whatever.
Listen, we're nice role players. We understand our place here. We're Josh Hart and IQ. But at the end of the day, it's Randall. And it's
you be Randall. I don't want to be Randall. Can I be Brunson?
No, I think you're Randall.
I don't want to be Randall.
You're more of a Randall.
What do you mean I'm more of a Randall?
The promo says it.
It doesn't say I'm a Randall. It says I'm a Barney.
It insinuates.
Damn. All right, let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Good morning, Ira. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, and how are you? I'm glad you had a good trip, Dave, and welcome back.
Thank you.
So, Rick, I don't know why you're upset about the Beckham thing. To be honest with you, this could be a blessing in disguise. You know, first of all, I would have never given him the money that he got from Baltimore. That's the first thing. Number two, it's always about the money. And, you know, good to him. God bless him. But at the end of the day, they're good at receiver. Between Hardman, between Wilson, you know, and Lazard. You know what? Corey Davis is a number four and Mims is a number five. They're just fine. Could you imagine Beckham is in that wide receiver room and he starts crying, he's not getting the ball? So to me, I understand the Jets' interest. You know, if he wanted to come here for 10 and he wanted to behave, that's good. I still don't trust his character. I'm glad he didn't sign with the Jets.
Would you have said that if he signed with the Jets, though?
I would have been very cautious about it. I mean, I was very much back and forth with this guy. If they got him, great, but I would be worried. I really be worried that things wouldn't work out.
The thing though is, I read that all his teammates love him, like they love him.
But it's going to be such a circus with Rodgers anyway. Do you really need an additional guy, like a high-profile guy like Beckham? All he has to do is do like what he did when he did that dog act in the end zone, wherever that game was.
Yeah, but did he do it in L.A. with the Rams when he won the Super Bowl? Did he do it there?
Yeah, but he's back in New York. Who knows? You know, like I said, listen, I may be wrong here. I'm just glad he didn't sign with the Jets.
I think the thing is, Rick, is he's a luxury. I don't think you desperately needed him. I think if you had him and added him to the mix here, I think you're better, and I think he can be dynamic, but I think he's not a necessity. He was more of a luxury.
Right. Now, until somebody gets hurt, and then he becomes a necessity.
That'd be terrible.
Right. I mean, yeah, okay. I mean, it's the room is fine now until somebody gets hurt, and then you get, we could have used Odell. Like, it's good. It's really good. But, I mean, Odell is at his best, or what the last time you saw him. And, again, there's still concerns. I get it. I just think mentally I had already talked myself into we were going to sign Odell. That's why there was a level of disappointment when I saw him.
Because you thought this was a done deal, and then it turns out that it wasn't. And you're disappointed by that. I understand it. So the NBA playoffs, I have the schedule in front of me. So tomorrow at 7:30, we have the Hawks at the Heat. Okay?
Yep.
And then following that, now the loser of that game is not out, though.
No, the loser that plays the winner of 9-10.
Correct. So the winner moves in at this. Oh, nice. The winner moves into the 7, right?
That's right.
So the winner plays Boston.
Right.
The loser will play the winner of 9-10. So that's 7:30 tomorrow night. Then 10 o'clock tomorrow night, you have Minnesota and the Lakers. And that's in L.A.
Well, Minnesota right now is a mess.
Well,
fighting.
First of all, what is Gobert doing?
Punching his teammate.
He apparently called him. Was it Kyle Anderson? Is that who he hit? I think so.
Okay, and he called him what?
I guess he called him to speak to him on the phone and apologize. And then he put out a tweet as well apologizing, saying he should. It was like such a typical tweet. It was like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done it. But he shouldn't have said what he said. But it's still, I shouldn't hit a teammate.
And don't forget, he said, I love him.
And he said, I consider him a great teammate and I love him. But that's, I mean, what's happening?
What's happening? I don't know exactly, but I've been on teams where stuff like this has happened before, but it's usually in the locker room, not
on the bench.
On the bench.
And then you have Jaden McDaniels who is walking off the court and he punches the wall and he breaks his hand.
Yeah, that's just stupid.
But what are you doing?
Yeah, that's just stupid.
So that's what we have tomorrow night. T-Wolves, Lakers, earlier it's Hawks at the Heat. Now, Wednesday, you have the Bulls and the Raptors. Loser of that is done. And the same thing with the Thunder and the Pelicans, right? Loser of that one is also done. So those are your 9-10 matchups. 7 o'clock, ESPN, 9:30 ESPN on Wednesday.
Love the 9:30 tip. Love it. It's the best.
And then Friday, we're going to get the loser of the 7-8s against the winner of the 9-10s.
Okay, let me ask you right now.
Yeah.
Without knowing how the play-in tournament is going to unfold, of the matchups that you have set in stone, what's the most intriguing matchup for you right now?
Well, I have it in front of me. So I got Nets 76ers, which I don't find all that intriguing, to be honest with you. It's not set in stone, so I can't choose the Celtics. I can choose the Knicks, Warriors, Kings is an intriguing matchup. Real intriguing. And then what do I have on Sunday? I have...
You got Clippers Suns.
I think Clippers Suns is probably, to me, the most intriguing matchup.
And then whatever that Lakers series is going to be first round will be interesting, too.
Very interesting. Because, I mean, you got to give them a puncher's chance, right?
Right. I mean, if AD's going to play the way he's playing.
But I got to tell you, Knicks-Cavs is very intriguing.
Very intriguing.
Warriors-Kings is immensely intriguing.
Yeah, but at least with the Knicks-Cavs, you have the secondary story of the whole Donovan Mitchell thing.
And Clippers-Suns is intriguing.
Right, because, I mean, the Suns are... one of the teams that you're looking at to win a championship.
Well, the nice thing about the NBA, and we love it, and it's here on ESPN, and you're going to be able to listen to a ton, every Knicks game and a ton of NBA postseason. The NBA is broken in the regular season, right? You agree with that?
I agree with that.
But when you get to the postseason, it turns back to being great.
Right. Which is why you deal with the regular season.
That's exactly right. And this portion of the show, driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, the number one volume Ford group in the Northeast, huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. I feel like maybe I disappointed you. Did I not give you the answer you were looking for in the most intriguing matchup there?
No, I thought that was good. I mean, we were right there. The Knicks, Cavs, right now for the matchups that we know, is probably the one that, because of the secondary storyline.
Yeah, but I mean, really, when you say the matchups that are set, Knicks-Cavs is really interesting to me. Warriors-Kings, I mean, would you be at all surprised if the Warriors won that series?
No.
Do you expect the Warriors to win that series?
Probably yes.
Okay. And then the 5-4 matchup? I mean, is it fair to say right now that the 4-5 matchup in the West between the Clippers and the Suns, the winner of that series you look at as the favorite to go to the NBA Finals?
Out of the West, yeah.
Right? So, I mean, that never happens.
No, but then, dude, I'm telling you, then you'd also get the, if you do get the Lakers-Memphis.
Oh, be another great series.
Right.
Yeah, you see that Steven Adams is out for the entire postseason, too.
Yeah, which is a huge loss for them.
Yeah, he's been out since January. That's a tremendous loss.
What's his name? Did you see the, was it Kenny Lofton Jr. played last night?
He's not a skinny guy.
He's thick, yeah.
Right.
He's thick.
And they brought him over from the G League and he scored like 40-something points?
I think he scored 42 last night.
How do guys do that, though? I don't understand.
How they can be that good.
They're not in the NBA and they can just come into the NBA and score 40 points in a game.
I think it depends on the game, though, too. You know what I mean?
I understand it's not the same stress as a normal game, but still, 42 points is 42 points.
42 and 14.
That's a big number. That's a big number. Now, you don't know this because you're all off in la-la land. But RJ, is my call screener back and working?
I mean, that's the hope.
Oh, God. All right. Let's give it a try here. Shooter in Stanford. Shooter? No, I don't think so. Shoot. Oh, maybe it is. Shooter, good morning. You're on 98.7. Nice. Good morning,
welcome
Shooter.
Back, Steve. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Brother.
Hey, Shooter, before you ask your great question, are you guys allowed to have peanut butter at your school?
Yes, in high school they are, but my kids are not allowed peanut butter. They got to have the sunflower butter because
right.
All the kids with allergies.
Wait. Yeah. When you say you mean your kids specifically?
Their school.
The high school in the city, there's no peanut butter code like there is at the my kids' schools.
Gotcha. So they don't think that the young kids can abide with all the rules, so they enforce these rules. The older the school, the more leeway they have.
Correct.
Makes sense.
The kids actually know that a peanut will kill them at this point, so they should not have one. Versus the little kids won't know the difference.
Gotcha.
They'll just eat it.
All right, makes sense. What do you got this morning, Shooter?
All right, Obi Toppin, 4 games, was averaging about 24 points a game. I mean, he can score when he's given the time. I know Julius comes back, he won't have the time. But when we get to the playoffs, the only way the Knicks are making a run, baby, is if someone else is scoring. If it's R.J. Barrett or Obi Toppin, like, someone's got to score.
Where's Obi playing, though? Where's Obi playing?
That's the problem.
Julius Randle's back.
Obi gets in with the second team when R.J. Barrett
But Shooter, how much time is he going to get, especially in playoff games where I imagine the starters are going to be playing the bulk of the minutes?
Well, he's got to get. I mean, that's why Tibbs earns his money. He's got to figure out a way to get him the time, and then at the end of the game, right? He's got to figure out who's going to get the ball and who's going to get to shoot and score.
But at the end of the game, it's not. I'm sorry, it's not going to be.
It's Jalen Brunson. It's Jalen Brunson at the end.
I mean, Brunson and then Randle.
Yeah, but who's going to be? Jalen Brunson's going to be rocking with the ball at the end of the game. That's for sure. We know that now. Julius Randle can't go one on one at the end of the game because they're going to double team him, triple team him. He's going to throw the ball away. So who's going to be scoring?
You would hope that RJ Barrett raises the level of his game, right?
RJ Barrett better do it, but RJ Barrett, you know, guys, he's not a great shooter. He's got to drive the hoop, and if they force him to the right, he's donezo. Dunzo.
Well, he's gonna have
yeah,
to
but
figure
this
it out.
But Shooter, and thanks for the call. I mean, this is again, you just paid him a boatload of money. Has he had the season that you were hoping? No, but that could all change with how he looks in the postseason.
That's right. He's had a, I think it's fair to say, a subpar regular season, right, RJ Barrett? If he goes out there and averages 25-12, that goes bye-bye.
Right. I said it to Dan last week. I mean, it's almost like what Lafreniere and Kako did last year in the playoffs.
100%. And you know what? It's again this year. Kako and Lafreniere were disappointing this season.
But you know, I mean, from what you saw last year in the postseason, that you trust that they're gonna be a big part of what you're trying to do in the playoffs. So,
so your Islanders have an enormous game tonight, huh?
Enormous. I took Milo to the Islanders Lightning game last week.
Did somebody send me a tweet that Milo got heckled at the game?
Oh yeah.
Are you serious? What happened?
So we got seats that, and thank you to the Islanders. We got seats like direct, kind of diagonal to where Vasilevsky was going to be two periods, right? Because he loves Andrei Vasilevsky. So Vasilevsky plays the night before against the Rangers. So unfortunately, he's going to be
the Rangers
bench.
Lit him up, I believe, right?
Right. Yep. So Elliott's going to be in net. So Milo wanted to wear his Vasilevsky jersey, and I said, listen, Vasi's not playing, man. I mean, this is, they're already in the playoffs. Islanders need it. I think we got to go all in for the Islanders tonight. He's like, you know what, Dad? You're right. He's got his Islanders sweatshirt on. Rocco's got his Islanders jersey on. And we're sitting there watching the game. And
just the three of you went?
No, all the whole family.
Okay.
Everybody. So, you know, the kids, they start playing. The Islanders scoring goals. You know, yes, yes, yes. They're singing. They're dancing. They're celebrating. They love it. So finally, Kucherov scores the first goal for the Lightning.
Uh-oh.
The people behind us are Lightning fans, not knowing that my wife is from Tampa and my son loves Tampa. They get in his face like, oh yeah, baby, that's Florida, Tampa, and they start heckling Milo and my daughter and my son.
These are sick losers.
Animals.
Well, first of all, they're on the road. So you figure you shut up, you're quiet, you deal with whatever the consequences are from being a road fan. And secondly, they start heckling a child?
Lightning, lightning, lightning!
Yeah, 8-6-2, right in the face with a finger. Yeah, Tampa!
Oh, my God.
It's ugly.
Were they a little inebriated?
I don't even know. I don't think so.
Oh, that's great.
Which is worse.
That is worse.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
So now Santillo's taking shots at me. I was so nice just now. Rick, I called him in. I said, we have any update with the baby? Everything going well? Because I haven't heard anything. And he goes, yeah, I'll be making cheese sandwiches before you know it.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you believe it?
Wow. I think that's a nice question he asked, RJ.
It really was.
I haven't seen you in over a week. I haven't gotten an update. I wanted to make sure everything is you know, smooth sailing. Things are good. I ask you about that, and you make fun of me.
I'm not making fun of you. I don't think you gave a genuine response. You said, by the way, you just put cheese between two pieces of bread.
Well, because now you've backed me into a corner.
And then what happens?
Well, then I'll roar like a lion.
Who's the cat now?
But not today, because today I'm still well rested from my vacation. At some point soon, I'm sure I'll revert back to those.
Roar!
Those times where I
think I'll
roar.
I'll need some cooking tips from you. Some, I think you're going to learn a lot in these next few weeks.
So you know what's happened? The lacrosse moms had a volunteer dad last night text me and say, we would like to provide meals for days because we know what's going to go on at your house.
It's like an outreach.
That's exactly what it is.
Well, no, these are nice people.
They don't think you're capable.
Yeah, I was going to say, here's the question, though. Do you think they're doing it out of true generosity, or they got together?
So they think children will starve if we don't step in here.
They're worried about the children.
They got together and they were like, listen, this is going to go really bad. We need to step in immediately.
I'm not sure. It could be a combination of both. But here's the thing. There's always cereal.
They recognize there's a problem here.
Yogurt.
Won't somebody please think of the children?
Cheese sandwiches.
Cheese sandwiches are always a viable option.
You need to accept any and all food delivered to your home.
Right.
It's a food drive. Deliver canned goods.
Casseroles.
Microwavable, please.
See, he thinks it's so hysterical. He doesn't know what it's like. My wife is going to have major knee surgery. I'm going to have to tend to her. I'm going to have to take the kids all around. I'm going to have to do laundry. I got dishes. I still have to work. I mean, you know, I got to cook. I got to find a way to nourish the children. And you think it's, everybody drop off a casserole. It's so funny.
I've solved your problem. I know what you need to do.
What do I need?
You need to go, Steve Cohen, throw massive amounts of money at the problem, bring in chefs, bring in cleaners, staff the house.
I mean, dogs? Who has to deal with the dogs? Me?
Well, I send the dogs off.
I don't know if the dogs make it through this trade deadline.
Dogs are being sacrificed now.
You may have to package, your luxury vehicle.
Open your head above water.
With the dogs to send them out.
So you guys think this is so funny. Like, this is so hysterical.
I'm laughing, but I'm actually troubled by the whole this.
No, you should just be upset the fact that I'm enduring this and my wife is enduring this and not mock the whole situation.
I think about 3 days in, she's going to get frustrated with you, though.
She's going to be cooking. I know what she does.
She's going to become frustrated.
She's the worst patient known to mankind. Once she is able to hobble her way out of bed and down the stairs, she's going... Laundry? I don't know how to do laundry. Last time she asked me to take the clothes from the washing machine and put them in the dryer, I had to call her and say, I cannot open the washing machine. It will not open.
If the Rothenberg house were a football team, you're the Chiefs. She's Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. She's trying to be out there. What you're about to experience...
I'm the Blaine Gabbert of this situation.
You're not even Chad Henne.
That's what I'm saying. She's going to ask you if like, we're talking a football game is decades of life. She's asking you for one drive right now.
Yeah.
Can you be Chad Henne for a couple of months?
Or will you be Mike Lennon?
I don't know.
I think by day two, they're going wing tee. I think this. <We're>
Take the ball out of Dave Sanders.
Yeah. Right. Just whoever can get the ball and pick up a yard or two, go with that.
I think it probably.
Up the middle, Joe Judge style.
You say that the bar mitzvah for Ben and Alex, that's the time they become men. I think that's about to happen right now.
Are we punting?
So you think we get some answers this week?
I think Ben's going to be driving Alex to practice.
Ben's going to be driving. Oh, God. I'm really in one here.
I think you take as much food as you can get. I think you call one of your bougie neighbors and see if they have a cleaning, a person that does laundry for them that they could you could borrow for a day.
I told her yesterday, like, we should get a laundress.
I think it's a necessity.
And she's like, no, getting someone to do the laundry.
You need a whole staff.
I don't know.
Just people on standby.
You need Mr. Belvedere. You need something.
I love that show.
I think that all hands need to be on deck right now.
You may have to shop the dogs.
Training the dogs. The dogs are the least of my concerns.
That's the problem. I don't think they're going to get proper care.
Poor dogs.
You're going to open the front door and say, walk yourself.
You know what?
I don't have time.
If Santiago really, really cared.
How did this become my problem?
Well, you claim you're a friend guy. And you like my wife and you're a dog guy. If you really cared, you'd say, give me the dogs for the week.
I still have playoff games to get
but
ready
you got
for.
Half
I've
a
got
bet.
All about you, isn't it?
I've
it's
got
all,
games
I got
this
playoff
week.
Games to get ready for, too.
You're not getting paid for them.
What? I got to analyze them. I got to sit here and do the show.
You'll analyze them from the comfort of your recliner. You'll be fine.
I mean, what good is a half bedroom if you're not going to use it?
I mean, the dogs could destroy your half bedroom before you even knew it. It would be great.
He's got a dog walk in his apartment building.
Just put them in the dog walk.
I don't think it's available right now.
You just open the door and there's just two dogs there.
It's just these two dogs here. They're destroying the place. I can't.
Guys, all right, I tried, guys.
All right, let's take a listen. You know what you guys are going to be? All you guys are going to do is make it more difficult and mock me. And that's not what I need.
I think we're giving you advice. I don't think there's any mockery.
Your advice is hire someone to do the laundry.
Right.
By the time this is done, you'll be Dave Rothenberg, the Sandwich King. You'll be fine.
I'll be like Jersey Mike's.
It'd be like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, that's right. Well, hello!
So drive-by fruiting.
Hello!
I love that. All right, here is Justin Verlander discussing his shoulder injury, and it's improving.
Really turned a corner a couple days ago. The kind of general soreness that I was having is really dissipating quickly. All positive signs, just waiting for that to really completely go away before I step on the gas. But I've been able to keep throwing and also increase my intensity of throwing up to like 75%. So, I mean, I can't give you an exact date, but I feel like I'm really close to being able to, you know, take the leash off. And thankfully, being able to continue to throw, hopefully that buildup is not that long, you know, as opposed to being shut down for a couple of weeks. Keeping the shoulder moving and being able to stay at that threshold is a big benefit in these situations.
So I guess it wasn't in this soundbite, but he said something to the effect of he expects to be back by the end of April. Right? He expects to make his first start in April for the Mets. So that's not, we're not too far away from Verlander.
No, we're not too far. But I mean, and he had an amazing season last season, right? I mean, coming off Tommy John, what he was able to do.
When the Cy Young, he was phenomenal.
Yeah, was phenomenal. But I mean, 40 years old, and you're talking about a guy who pitched, what? I mean, close to 200 innings last year?
Yeah. After not pitching the year prior.
Right. And pitching six innings in 2020. So, yeah, I mean, it's, again, you sunk all your money into the top two of this rotation.
That's
one's going to be 39, one's already 40. And Scherzer hasn't looked great coming off of the end of last season.
Well, you can use a good Scherzer performance tonight, I'll tell you that.
Right. And he's going up against the Padres. But I said it, Dan, last year. I mean, in L.A., remember when he went to L.A., how good he was? He was amazing. And then all of a sudden, he gets the, I mean, most important time of the season. He's got the shoulder fatigue, so he starts breaking down. That's
right.
37. Last year, hurt, came back, dealt with it for most of the season, probably pitched through it, 38, wore down. Now he's going to be 39. So now all of a sudden, he's just going to magically not wear down at the end of the season?
Listen, I don't know. But whether he wears down as the season progresses or not, you need him to pitch well tonight.
Right, and you need Verlander back, and you got to need Senga to continue to pitch the way that he's pitched.
He looks good.
He's been really good. And they've really bought into this whole Ghost Fork thing and everything else. But, yeah, man, I mean, the Mets still have, they still have some question marks.
They have a lot of question marks. And we said it earlier, and I stand by this. I don't think Billy Epler has done a very good job as the GM of this team.
No.
Because when you have a blank check, and that's for the most part what he has, it's like, go out there. You have unlimited resources. You can spend as much money as you need. Figure it out. And you have this many holes? I'm sorry. My instant thought is he's not done a very good job as general manager.
No, I didn't think he did a very good job last year. The deadline was awful.
He was awful at the deadline last year.
So, I mean, we're still dealing with the same issues. I mean, I don't think anyone thought that Daniel Vogelbach was going to be the answer. Well, I mean, they got rid of Darren Ruff. He wasn't the answer. I mean, you brought in Michael Givens, Darren Ruff, Daniel Vogelbach, and Tyler Naquin.
Terrible. Terrible. And I kept trying to tell you, don't worry, it'll be fine. We'll figure it out. We'll work it out. We have so much money. We have prospects to trade. They're going to really change the complexion of this team. And they did nothing. And then this offseason, I mean, I like Verlander. I'm excited to watch him. And Senga looks really good. And Quintana, hopefully at some point, produces for this club. But, I mean, are they any better now than they were last year? And the answer to me is they're not.
The answer right now would say no. Well, especially because you have no Diaz either.
You have no. I know that's not their fault, though, right?
No, I know it's not their fault. But I'm just saying. I mean, that's part of it too. Is you don't have Edwin Diaz.
You don't have Diaz. You don't have Quintana. You don't have Verlander at the moment. So your top five of your lineup. I don't know that they can be better than they were last season. I think that's probably very unlikely. And there's some hurdles that this team is going to have to deal with.
Right, unless one of these young kids can step in. If it's Alvarez. Or if it's at some point Beatty comes up. But even if Beatty comes up, you still don't have a DH because Escobar hasn't. I mean, I know he hit the home run on Saturday, but he has not.
He looks awful.
Right. He hasn't been what they hoped. I just think when you start going lineup to lineup, I mean, it's not.
No, the bottom of the Mets lineup is bad. That's the truth.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Are you a Belvedere guy?
I am.
Love that show.
You were showing off your knowledge. As soon as someone asks a question, everyone knows. So everyone knows Dave instantly with the answer.
Sorry. You know what? The question was asked because they thought I would, if anyone would know it, it would be me. And they said, what's Mr. Belvedere's first name? And I said, Lynn. Should I not answer it?
No, answer it. Anytime you have a chance to flaunt it, you flaunt it.
You know what? I'm fine with that. I'll do it again. Ask me more questions about show.
Yeah, the intellect is just out in the nude.
It was the Owens family, if you remember. You remember who the father was?
He's a
famous baseball guy.
Just a bit outside.
That's right.
Bob Uecker.
Bob Uecker.
Yeah.
How old do you think Bob Uecker is?
He's got to be in his... He's got to be in his late 80s, no?
Yeah, I would think so.
Why don't you Google it so you can find out?
Bob is 89.
89.
Wow. Still doing it, too.
He still does the Brewers games?
Mm-hmm.
89.
He had a great call in that walk-off against Ottavino.
Why did they choose to go with Ottavino in the ninth and
lefties.
Robertson in the eighth? Did he explain that?
Yeah, because the lefties.
No.
We'll go Robertson with 7-8-9 and then give Ottavino the top.
And first batter home run, right?
Lefty. Yeah,
yeah, great. All right, so Yankees, they win 2 out of 3. It's funny. Yankee fans are amazing. I get texts from a buddy of mine after Friday's game saying, something's not right. I said, would you calm yourself down, please? And then they bounce back and they win Saturday and Sunday. But they did get some bad news. Loaisiga goes on the injured list now.
Right, Loaisiga. Donaldson.
I don't think
Canley got moved to the 60-day.
Right. I don't think Donaldson's it's huge news because they can just slot.
No, because you'd rather have. I mean, let's be honest. You'd rather have DJ playing third anyway.
Right. So I don't think it's a big loss at all. But Loaisiga is a big loss.
Loaisiga is a big loss.
And they're not going to let him touch a baseball for at least 2 weeks.
Get the inflammation down. Yeah, I have to get the shot.
But that's very concerning.
It's not great news. I mean, Clay Holmes looked good last night, so that was a positive.
He's looked good this season, right?
Yeah. Aaron Judge is a stud. He's picked up right where he left off.
It's amazing. It's amazing that he's asked to do so much and he always does.
That's just who he is now, man.
I know, but he's really gone from being like he's good and he's got the potential to he's awesome and he's always awesome.
I don't know what he's going to end up with. Like who has any idea? But for him, I think the next step is he just had the historic 62 home runs and everything else. One of the great offensive seasons you've ever seen in your entire life.
Right.
The next thing for him is just to...
Is what?
To have that kind of impact in the postseason.
Correct.
Because that's the missing... I mean, that right there is... He was 1-for-16 against Houston.
Which is... But really, the entirety of the regular season is just, you know, get through it. Because the only thing that really matters is the postseason.
Right. I mean, just do what everyone expects you to do, which he's done.
And he'll continue to do.
And
you have zero concern about that.
I think the only thing you would point to... Listen, Gerrit Cole, every fifth day, his first two starts have been great. I mean... Nasty Nestor was last year a flash in the pan. Doesn't seem like it was. Mm-hmm. I love watching him pitch. It was so Fugazi, too, making him color in the writing on his glove. Come on, stop it. That's ridiculous. And then Johnny Brito's been
Looks good. A
great surprise for them.
Looks real good. Yeah, they fell behind Saturday. They came back. Good starting pitching. Good relief pitching. And then yesterday, you know, offensively, Judge carries the day. And Yankees went 2 out of 3 in Baltimore, which is not a pushover team anymore.
Adley Rutschman, by the way. Is a stud.
Rutschman is really good.
Stud.
They have this. What's this kid? Grayson Rodriguez. They love.
Yep.
They have a bunch of really.
They got Gunnar Henderson.
Gunnar Henderson. Yeah. They're gonna. I don't think they're there yet, but they're going to be good at some point soon. How about the Rays?
They can't lose.
They can't lose. They're 9-0. They outscored the A's 22-0 in the last two games.
That's right. They just find a way, man. They got great starting pitching. Wander Franco's off to a good start.
And Glasnow hasn't even pitched for them yet.
Right.
So, and then he's going to wind up back in this rotation.
I will say, and I said this to Dan last week, we talk all the time. Like, we've already had the one Mets call up the young kids, let them play. The fact that the Yankees are winning is such an important thing right now with Volpe struggling.
Well, yes, because it kind of hides the fact that he's struggled.
Yeah, I know he had the triple, but I mean, it makes all the difference in the world.
It's a lot. I know he's batting ninth and they're not relying on him, but he's still considered a big piece of the future. And it's a lot to ask for a young kid. Was he 21?
Right. I mean, with the incredible expectations, he's on the Yankees, a team that's that's trying to win a World Series. He's the shortstop. Yeah, but I mean, it makes such a difference when you're winning because you don't, same thing with football, is you don't, you're not dissecting every little thing that's going wrong.
You're winning games, so if he struggles, it's not the end of the world.
Right, which is perfect for him now because it gives him a chance to kind of get his feet wet, settle down, and just go and play.
Same thing, I mean, not that he's a young guy, but same thing with like Escobar, right? I mean, if the Mets are winning games and Escobar is struggling, whatever. But the fact that the Mets are 5-5 and Escobar has not been good, that's a problem. The Carrasco's not been good, that's a problem.
Right. It's a big problem. The Carrasco thing right now is a...
It's a big problem.
It's a legitimate problem.
Here is Aaron Boone on Judge's elite performance again yesterday.
Yeah, really good. Long at bat there on the first one that he rides out to center field, setting his sights on him. You know, Wells was pitching tough, outlasting there. Obviously, a base hit to get us going in the first there, and then good aim. The wall of Baltimore was good to us this weekend. Kept a couple in the ballpark that they hit. Maybe Judge had some good aim on the second homer.
I don't know what else there is to say about him. He's absolutely phenomenal. He really is.
Yeah, I think he's established himself. I mean, he's right there at the top. Him.
I think it's Judge and Ohtani, isn't it?
For the time being, yeah, I would still put Trout up there just because he's awesome. But
and Trout's got off to quite a start this season.
But he's definitely established himself and as a guy you just know is going to be one of the best in the league.
So that's it now. The only thing left, everything regular season wise, he's crossed off the list, right? The only thing left for him to do is play well and win in the postseason.
That's it. I mean, he does everything else. I mean, even we were talking about this the other day when Hicks came to the bench, all they're booing him and everything else. The first one that walked over was Judge. Like, leadership check. Play center field, right field, can play left field at a high level. Run the bases, can steal bases, hit home runs, hit for average.
There's no weakness in his game. Play right field, play center field.
No, nothing. I mean, he almost won the Triple Crown last year.
Yeah. Who Arias beat him out, right?
Yeah, because he took
the last day off, right?
Yeah, but he's tearing the cover off the ball right now in Miami.
Let's go to Rodney in the Bronx. Hey, Rod, you're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Great to be on the show. I love listening to you guys. Just wanted to chime in on the whole Judge thing. I mean, you guys started talking about the Mets, so I kind of got a little thing in there. I'm a big baseball fan. The Yankees are my team, but I don't hate the Mets. I actually follow them and you know, I feel like their situation is similar to the Yankees in terms of, you know, they have injuries, they have a lot of things going up. And I was just talking, and I was like, I think maybe just call people up. I mean, the Mets have a lot of really good prospects. Ronnie Mauricio is a killer. That guy played for Licey.
I'm excited with Mauricio, too. Where are you going to play him?
I know, man. It's so hard when you got guys killing it in the minor leagues and you're like, man, that production could be so used up in the majors. You know what I mean?
But Rodney,
Batty, you know, like
Rodney, yeah, Rodney, from personal experience, having been through this in a different sport, it doesn't mean that just naturally that production just translates directly to the next level. You hope it does, but that's a big jump.
But he had a great spring training too, Mauricio.
All right, he did. The problem with Mauricio is, I mean, he plays the position that you just signed the guy to a 10-year deal to.
Right. Wouldn't you figure at some point he's going to be involved in some kind of a big trade?
You'd think, but I think that the Mets are in a weird spot, though, right? I mean, this is maybe why they didn't make big moves last deadline. And you're trying to make yourself the Dodgers of the East. You're trying to, you know, build up your farm system, develop players. So what you're doing now is taking advantage of your biggest strength, which is spending money.
Right. So you'll bring in the high-priced free agents.
Right. So now what do I do? We missed out on Correa for the right reasons because you didn't trust his physical.
Correct.
So now whatever you need is going to cost you prospects.
Yeah, but you need a lot.
Right. You need a lot, but you're also trying to get Ohtani. Like, that's got to be something that you're looking at. So is it, do one of these teams go out at the deadline if they're out of it to make a trade, or are you waiting until free agency with him?
Well, like Buster told us a couple weeks ago, he said they will not trade Ohtani.
Right, so you wait on that, but they still, like, I mean, unless it's one of the kids in the system that's going to step up and have some kind of impact, like, you had a chance to, I mean, would Adam Duvall have been a good signing?
No, come on, Adam Duvall's a .212 hitter.
He's got four home runs already.
Okay.
Is he better than Daniel Vogelbach?
I think a lot of guys are better than Vogelbach.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, I mean, you have limited options right now. Escobar's not cutting it at third. Vogelbach's not cutting it.
You have a lot of holes.
DH.
You have legitimate problems. Let's go to Cruz in Newark. Hi, Cruz. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, boys. Appreciate you guys for having me on. This whole notion that we can't sit here and bring up the kids because we're taking the bats away from the likes of Canna and Escobar and Vogel. Listen, Mauricio needs to be called up to play second. McNeil goes over to the left. Beatty plays third. Viento DHs, takes away Vogel back out of the lineup, and Alvarez catches. And just like that, whether it's, you know, them being young, who cares? Canna is, no. Escobar is terrible. Vogelback doesn't get nothing.
So, Cruz, let me. Why do you think they don't do this? Like, is it
not good, Dave?
You think that Buck Showalter is so inept and Billy Epler is so inept that they won't play guys that make them better?
I wouldn't say that for Buck, but Billy Epler is.
Cruz, yeah. Let me ask you a question.
I'm not sold on him.
Cruz, let me ask you a question. You're a big baseball fan, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you watch both the Mets and the Yankees, right?
Yes.
Okay, of all the prospects we're talking about, both teams, who had the best spring?
Volpe.
Okay, how's he doing?
Not bad. You're going to go through grown teams. It's okay.
Yeah, but you're talking about having half the team as young guys that you have no idea what, like, that the AAA production is going to all of a sudden now just carry over to this level on a team that's trying to win a World Series. Like, I mean, that's, again, I understand what you're saying, and I'm all for playing young kids, but, like, the veteran guys, we're 10 games in. The veteran guys are going to get some burn. Buck trusts them. He respects them. So they'll get every opportunity to get themselves out of this. And if they can't, guess what? Someone else is going to come up and have your job because they're all trying to win.
That's right.
Buck's not going to sacrifice games because he's that loyal to veteran guys. Yeah, he's going to do the right thing by them, but at a certain point, they got to realize, I'm not getting the job done. It's the nature of the business. Calling up. I mean,
just every young guy. Maybe they're not ready. It's possible.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.